Nice to hear the UW Whitewater Warhawks football team fight song. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network for our monthly sports show. Today we're talking about how the Whitewater team is handling sitting out this season due to the coronavirus pandemic. Our guest is one of them anyway, Kevin Bullis. He's the head football coach of the UW Whitewater Warhawks. He's led the team to countless victories, honors, accolades, and awards. And Coach Bullis, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Larry, it's great to be with you. And hey, thank you for playing that music, because I'll tell you, I haven't heard that this fall. So that made me feel very good, nice and warm inside.
Well, I'll tell you what, I bet Ryan Ponick hasn't heard it very much either. He's with us as well. He's a graduate of Stanley Boyd High School and is a Warhawks running back and team captain. Ryan Ponick, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Thanks for having me on. That school song, man.
Oh. Awesome
right
song. Oh, man. So as you listen to these two visit with us, what are you missing most with no college football here in the state? Well, the Big Ten will be starting up at some point at the end of the month. Maybe you could comment on that. But we'd love to hear from you anyway. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, and love to hear from you. Coach Bullis, you know, last year about this time, we were having a much different conversation anticipating the start of the Warhawks season. So how's the team doing this year, all things considered?
You know, they're doing fantastic. And one of the key pieces that we've been emphasizing to the guys is that this is not 2019. And you mentioned about a year ago I was having this conversation. It's 2020. And the main thing is really concentrating since the first day when our kids went home on March 20th, really have been emphasizing let's control what we can control. Because I think that right now, during these past months, that's the biggest thing, is we can get distracted by things we can't control.
Yeah. Are practices still going on in some form?
Yeah. I mean, we've been really fortunate, Larry. Our administration, Chancellor Watson, our athletic director, Ryan Callahan, have really understand the importance of working with the kids. And the NCAA has given us 114 what they call contact days to work with our student athletes. So September 8th was our first day of working with the young men. And we were working in pods, working in small groups, doing strength and conditioning out on the field, and working football drills as well, but in a very controlled, different manner compared to 2019.
Yeah, I would imagine. Ryan, how are you and your teammates handling the cancellation of the season?
I think we're just happy to get an opportunity to practice and lift together and be around one another. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we learned, was that, you know, you cannot take an opportunity to play the game for granted. And right now, you know, my heart's with, you know, the seniors whose career had to end, unfortunately, with everything that's going on. But, you know, with everybody that's on the ship right now, we're just happy to be there, happy for the opportunity.
How are you all staying connected and sort of having that feeling like a team?
Well, like Coach said, I mean, we're still able to, you know, practice, meet, and lift together. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have the administration and staff that we do to make that possible. But we get to see each other and interface on, you know, all those activities, and then as well as, you know, any Zooms or anything that we want to have as far as video conferencing. So
yeah, I'm wondering about motivation. How do you stay motivated without the hype of a big game day? I'm also wondering, what role do you play as a team captain?
I think in regards to your question with motivation, that was one of the biggest things that Coach talked about us last January, was there's two different types of motivation. There's internal motivation and external motivation. eventually, if you seek external motivation, you're going to run out. There's a finite amount of things you can extract. So to answer your question, the last 10 months has really been a litmus test for each guy to solve and ignite his own internal motivation and get that moving. It's great to have games, but when it comes down to it, it's your daily mindset, your attitude, and your actions and the steps that you're making. And I think guys have had a great opportunity to do that this year. As in regards to my role as team captain, we have a vision, from the leadership council of the team of where we want to go and what kind of team we want to be. So day in, day out, it's, picking guys up. It's knowing, who's going to need different types of leadership styles to allow them to play at their best, but it's holding people accountable to the vision that we say we want right now. So that's showing up, being the example every day at practice and working hard. So,
well, Coach Bullis, hearing Ryan talk, I think sounds like you've done a pretty good job of instilling those kinds of leadership qualities into him and probably others.
Well, and I mean, Ryan is fantastic. I mean, it's very fortunate. He's an amazing representation of our program. He was selected by his teammates, and because of the skill sets he has as a leader, and that's something that it's not just playing football. I mean, it's really the identity of this program is teaching and learning. And I know that sounds soft and cushy, Larry. I mean, I really know it does, but it is truly the essence of it. And besides being a heck of a football player, Ryan's a great teacher. And he's a guy that role models for his teammates. And yeah, and he talks about accountability, is that we are accountable to each other. That's why he's in the role he is, because he is a great teacher and a great role model for everybody in this program, not just the players.
Give our listeners a chance to join in. Questions for Coach Kevin and Ryan. I hope you'll join in. Maybe if you're a fan of Whitewater football, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. Maybe, Coach, what do you think about the Big Ten starting play at the end of the month?
Hey, I'm jealous. That's the first thing I'll tell you, Larry. I will tell you that. I am jealous. I'm excited for them. I'm excited for them to have the opportunity. I'm excited for them, to be able to play the game they love and pursue that. I do know, the task that they're taking on and the other athletic programs, whether it's professional sports or college sports, what they're taking on in the sense of protocols and processes is amazing. It is an amazing task in the sense of testing and those types of things, and the adaptations of how you practice and adaptations of how you meet. It's really tested our ability to be creative, and that's the thing that to me is one of the greatest positives that may come out of a terrible thing. Is it's really forced us as a society, but obviously as sport, to evolve and be creative to, most importantly, keep our kids safe. And that is the ultimate priority, and that's the biggest challenge. But you got to stay true to that.
Do you, Kevin, maybe just comment on testing or other procedures? I know you talked a little bit about your pods and so forth, but do you guys go through somewhat regular testing of the players, or how does it work?
You bet. Every 2 weeks, 25% of our players must get tested, and they do. And then it goes even well beyond the testing. I mean, in the sense of how we function in the locker room, how many kids we can have in the locker room at a particular time, to how we function even on a practice field. in the sense of the old days of having a big water jug and everybody can drink from that water jug. Those are all the things that you have to be able to adapt. And you got to be able to teach virtually. You got to be able to learn virtually. I mean, you have to. It is not something that we can use as a crutch anymore. And because of the greater good is learning. And that's ultimately what all these procedures and processes that we go through.
Yeah. Ryan, well, maybe I'll ask you first, what do you think of the Big Ten starting play? And then maybe some of your thoughts on the testing and so forth.
I think it's awesome that the Big Ten gets to play. You know, I hope they're able to do it safely and have fun. You know, we touched on it earlier about the opportunity to play. So I hope those guys can have fun and make the most of their opportunity. As far as testing, it's very necessary right now, and I think we're doing it the right way. I mean, guys are, being honest, and we are contact tracers, and there's ways to enforce that, so we're all able to practice and move about our schedules safely. So I'm all right with it right now. It's good.
Yeah, and I'm wondering too. There's a certain amount of accountability. I would think that as a captain, there's a certain amount of accountability that has to go on outside the playing field, in social situations or yep. in others.
Yeah. So it's, if you're going to be in any leadership position, I think that you need to take complete ownership of not only your actions, but the people that are your peers or the people you're responsible for. So if, we're in a social situation and we have a guy that, maybe doesn't handle it, the best way he could have, I have to take responsibility for that because I did not, talk to him enough about the importance of his actions in that situation. And then you just teach him the right way to do it. And I think that, at all times there's an opportunity to be an example. So I think that would be, a little more on and off the field oriented as well.
Yeah. Joe in Platteville, let's give you a chance to join in. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I was going to ask Coach, what's the one thing you would say you've done to keep your team ready, keep them motivated? I know you talked about motivation earlier and everything, but what is something you've done that you think really has helped?
Wow, that's a deep question. That very seriously. I in recent times, and if you want to talk about the last 6 months, if I had a nickel for every time I said to the team, control what we can control, could stay locked in on that, and stay focused on that. That's a good, whether we're in a pandemic or not, that's always been a phrase for us, but I think exceptionally now that's been pronounced in controlling what you can control. You can control getting your biology homework done now. You can control getting in that weight room and working hard, working your tail off and working towards your goals. You can control wearing your mask. And it's not an infringement of our freedoms to wear a mask. It is not. I'm a history guy, and know a lot about I've read a lot about what does freedom mean and what does this country mean. If wearing a mask does not infringe upon us, but it's controlling those things. And it's like Ryan said, he brought up a great point. Whether it's socially or whether a coach is watching or not, are you having the integrity to make the right decisions to take care of yourself and the people around you? It's ultimately caring. It's ultimately caring.
Good answer, Joe. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I prior to that, I guess if I had to add one point to, prior to this pandemic period, the thing that I'm most proud of this program is how guys like Ryan, and this is something, the learning environment that we have in our football program. We talk constantly about learning, constantly about teaching. how to teach. Ryan's a great teacher. He's a great teacher. He is a fantastic teacher. When he graduates, I'm going to try to get him on the staff, and because he is an amazing teacher. But he's not the only one. It's not just our captains. We demand it of our upperclassmen. We demand it of our juniors. We demand it of our sophomores. And that's probably the thing I'm most proud of this football program. And the byproduct is, it's winning a lot of football games, which is we love doing that. Those are the things that I guess that I would say would be the most important things we've done.
And Joe, thanks a lot. And Ryan, I know you have to get going. And I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. Best of luck to you and the team. Ryan Ponick, UW Whitewater running back and team captain. And again, Ryan, thank you so much.
Hey, Larry, thank you for having me on. Coach, have a good morning. I'll see you later today. Go Hawks. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Great to have him with us. Ryan Ponick, one of our guests. The other, our guest, Coach Kevin Bullis, head coach at the UW Whitewater. I'm Larry Mueller. Jane Rotunda, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Coach Kevin Bullis, our guest now, head football coach at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, the Warhawks, and it's great to have him with us. Calls, you know what, if you want to call, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us a question or comment at ideas@wpr.org. Let's take another call. Karen in Whitewater, thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning, Larry and Kevin. I just wanted to call. I'm a downtown Whitewater merchant, and I just wanted to call and thank Kevin and his team of coaches, the players and the staff. Through my little bookshop, I've met several members of the team, parents, and even parents of coaches, and they've all just been the loveliest people. I mean, all my customers are lovely, but I've truly been touched by their kindness. It's such a tribute to this organization and the administration from a very proud and grateful community. So thank you.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear, Kevin.
Fantastic and greatly appreciated. And going back to what I was talking earlier about teaching, and one of the most important things I think we teach is very simply doing the little things politely, whether it's opening the door for somebody or helping somebody jump their car in the middle of winter, and ultimately showing that you care. And that's something that we model, we teach, and we demand it, to be honest with you. And so I know that sounds very forceful, but thank you. I'm very proud of our young men as well.
Karen, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And your team gets involved in terms of leadership. I think your team gets involved in a community service as well, does it not?
Yeah, that's given, trying to establish kind of continuing on with what Karen said. It's ultimately showing you care. And when you can establish a team environment where people care about each other, you have less distractions to the learning, Larry, very seriously. And when you establish that type of environment that people learn to care about each other, And again, we do demand it, and to be quite candid, but it allows us to, you have to do it in several different ways. It's not just opening the door for somebody. It's not just being polite in a store. It is also going to Fairhaven and playing bingo with the seniors at Fairhaven. They're some of our greatest fans and some of the greatest experiences our kids have is doing those types of things. It's doing our food drive in the community. It's doing our Special Olympics football camp in the spring with the Wisconsin Special Olympics program. And those are things that are just as fulfilling for us as it is the people we're interacting with.
Yeah, I would think, and I imagine with the sort of pandemic situation, are you able to keep, some of that up with the pandemic?
Well, that's all been on pause. I mean, in all reality, Larry, I mean, those are the things that have been on pause since March 20th. And once we get the thumbs up that we can start doing those things again, I can guarantee you we will. And, you know, that's just kind of the, you know, one of the things we have to deal with in these times.
Yeah. And what about academics? What kind of goals does the team have, or do you have team goals for academics, and how are they doing?
You know, and this is to me, the team goals to me is working with each individual. And you know, some years ago, a couple years ago, I had a young man who had multiple learning disabilities. And he graduated from here with a 2.9 GPA, which is not, you know, it's not 3.9. But for him, getting a 2.9 was an amazing accomplishment. An amazing accomplishment. It's also a reflection of, you know, we have a CSD office on our campus, and they do a great job, centers of students' disabilities that works with students. But, I mean, that is the way we look at it, is that it's an individual thing. So our coaches meet consistently. Like right now, every one of our freshmen is required to meet with their position coach during the week, and they do an audit. And so what is an audit? I mean, an audit means they bring all their notes in, and the coach is going to look at their notes and say, hey, you only got 2 pages of notes in your history class? Well, that's ridiculous. You should be having 4 or 5. That means you aren't writing down everything that professor writes. They're going to audit their grades. I mean, grades are online now, so they can see the quiz grades. They can see that. They're going to audit their planner to the point of looking at, are you using your planner and writing detailed plans day to day, hour to hour? And that is probably the biggest piece to me, is their freshman year, helping them with that transition, that college is not grade 13. You don't go to school all day and then do homework at night. Now in college, you go to school for that class from 8 to 9, but then from 9 to 11, you don't have a class. Now it's time to study and be organized with your time. It actually demands a young man to change their paradigm of study. And once we can get them understanding that concept, implementing those concepts, they'll flourish in college. They will flourish as long as they continue with those attributes and skills. But those are skills we have to teach them. We have to teach them. We can't just assume they're going to pick them up, because college is different than high school.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you zero in on the freshmen, because it's the freshmen, you're absolutely right. They come in without a lot of understanding about what college is like. I know that myself from teaching at the UW-Madison, that freshmen really need to be taught how to study and use their time well.
And there's no doubt. I mean, and the thing that, to me, one of the biggest things, in fact, I was just meeting with a young man this morning, and one of our freshmen, and getting him to understand the concept that this is not grade 13, that when you go into a college class, you better break a light sweat taking notes, whether it's virtually or not. And this may, you know, you'll appreciate this being an instructor. The best place I ever found when I was in college back in the 80s was this place called the library. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable because you minimized your distractions, and it was a great place to sit down that was quiet. Where, to me, that's the biggest challenge for our kids right now. So many of their classes are remote or online. It's easy for them to think that their dorm room is their study place, which is, as you know, you know, it's a social environment that is really tough to study. And if we can get kids to understand, literally go to the library and have a secluded space for yourself, you're going to thrive. But staying in your dorm room and trying to go virtual all day, that's not a good study place. That's not a good learning place.
I think going to like going to a library or going somewhere else, I mean, it helps your mindset. I think it helps a student's mindset. Okay, now I'm in a place of study as opposed to, well, now I'm in a place where I can sleep if I want to or do whatever else, you know, the refrigerator's right there or whatever. I really think that getting to a spot like that is very key. And in the libraries are the perfect place.
Well, and that's, I'll tell you, Larry, it's also a mental health thing. It's a huge mental health thing in the sense of, and I say this to every one of them. I said it to the young man this morning. I told him, I will not work at home. I will not do my work at home. When I will go to work and I will finish my work for the day. Now, whatever time that is that I finish, whether it's 9 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock at night, but I will only work at work, and that's my point to them. Your library is your workplace. Your classroom is your workplace. And stay in your workplace. When you're done with your work, when you've completed all the tasks for the day, then you get to go home. And that's your relaxed place. That is where you chill out, you play video games, you play Call of Duty, you tweet, you whatever, Instagram, whatever it is. But getting kids to understand, to be able to separate those, it makes them a happier person. And it's important that they develop themselves academically, yes, athletically, but also, most importantly, them as a human being. Learn to put yourself in a position to be happy and be satisfied with what you're doing.
Do you have a... I imagine you have a lot of memories, but do you have a favorite memory of coaching the team or maybe a couple?
Well, I mean, there's so many. I've been doing this, been here for 13 years and been coaching for, well, over 30. I quit counting once I hit 30. So it just dates me too much. But I will tell you one that really jumped out at me just even this past season. When we went down to, I think it was our third round playoff game, it was against Mary Hardin-Baylor, where a year before that we played Mary Hardin-Baylor in the semis. Didn't play to our standard. We didn't. And they beat us. And the look in the eyes of our kids going into that game at Mary Hardin-Baylor this year, I knew we were going to win. It wasn't even a question. I could see it in their eyes. I could see it in their eyes the entire game. And where I'm going with this is just the motivation. I knew even earlier that week, during our practice week, and Ryan alluded to it, our intrinsic motivation for each individual human being on this team was extremely high. Our motivation in the practice week was just amazing, and that game was a reflection of it. And how we were intrinsically motivated as individuals was really served as a it was just great to see us play to the standard that we expect of ourselves.
Let's take a look at the 2021 season. man, I'm sure you're looking forward to hopefully a normal 2021 season. What about dreams or goals for that? I think you told me last year that recruiting is kind of a year-round thing for you. How is recruiting work in this kind of COVID period?
Well, and again, adapting. To me, you know, we're fortunate. Our campus passes us down information on how we can proceed and how we can do things in a safe manner. And they get their information from the CDC. And so then it's our responsibility to read through that information and then adapt. And we've been able to adapt. I've been very pleased. We've continued with our recruiting process. Does that mean we've been able to go in high schools and meet with kids? Nope, we have not been able to do that. That was something that we had to adapt. Were we able to continue to communicate with young men by phone, by Zoom meetings, by text messaging. Yes, we've been able to do that. We've been able to have kids on campus, but we had to keep them in very small groups. We had to stick by CDC and have the proper spacing capacities to rooms. And so we're very conscious of that 6 feet and 15 minutes. But we've been able to have kids on campus and have them here and visit and see more and learn more about us, because ultimately that's what it's all about when you're recruiting, is getting them to know as much as they can about you and your program and the individuals in your program, so they're well informed when they make a decision. And obviously we hope that means they're going to be a Warhawk, but hey, I've coached long enough to know. There's no guarantees in the recruiting process.
I would bet not. And I imagine, obviously, too, the quality of the school and the education the student's going to get also plays a big role in the recruiting process.
Not a question, because, I mean, ultimately, we're not our kids are not scholarship. We are Division III, so there is no athletic scholarship. There's academic scholarship for kids and things. So ultimately, I mean, we're very fortunate to have one of the best colleges of business in the nation, and business is a very popular major, has been for many years, and UW-Whitewater, Dean Chenoweth and his staff over in our College of Business, man, I would put them up against any College of Business any given day, anytime, anywhere. They are fantastic. And so, I mean, that, no doubt, that's a big draw. Now, obviously, we offer 55 majors, so we get a lot of young men that are going to be teachers, going to be lawyers, going to be, you know, whatever it may be. But there's no doubt, it is truly marketing ourselves as a program, but also, most importantly, our academics, because we're not an NFL factory. We're not. And that's a reality. Yeah, Jay Kummerow is with the Bills, but that's one guy. The rest of our guys go out and be teachers and businessmen and police officers and whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, now let's look forward to the 2021 season. Any dreams? What are your dreams and goals for 2021?
Well, and I can tell you that one simply and quickly. I mean, it's our goal is to win the WIC Conference Championship. It is every year, has been for the last 13 years, and that is the way we look at it. And anything that comes after that point, we'll make goals for that when that time, if that time comes. And so, I mean, even then, we look at it this way, is the most important goals are the goals that happen with the basics and fundamentals of what you have to do today. And so if Ryan asked you, if you would ask Ryan that question, he said, well, Coach Bolsa is going to tell us our goal is to win the conference championship, and he'll only say it one time, and that is in the first meeting of the first in August, and that'll be the only time I mention it, because everything after that point is all about the individual player and teaching them where they at in their development of their craft. And that's the key thing. It's back when I was a player, I was a linebacker, and the linebacker coach would walk in and say, hey, this is what you got to be able to do, and you got to figure out how to do it. And where we've really evolved as coaches and teachers is that each player, before they go out on the field, know what their 1% goal is. It is a basic fundamental goal, skill within their craft, their position, where they're at as an individual, that they need to achieve today. And when you can teach a young man to be so goal-oriented, to concentrate on the basics day to day, the basic fundamentals, that is a lesson that they'll take on for the rest of their lives. And that is really the essence of what we do. We talked about it academically, meeting with players individually. That is a huge part of what our staff does, is meet individually with players, to establish those goals for themselves. And like I said, we keep it simple. What's your 1% goal today? If you get 1% better every dang day, how good are you going to be in 100 days?
Oh, you've got a great mindset there, Coach Bullis. I want to thank you so much. You know what? I hope next fall you and I can get together again on this show and talk about what the season might look like and how things are going, and be able to do it with an idea in mind that we'll be playing, that you'll be playing a normal schedule.
I will look forward to that, Larry. I've enjoyed these opportunities to talk with you, and I really love your questions. It's a great conversation.
Thanks again, Coach. We'll meet again. Thank you.
I'll look forward to it.
Coach Kevin Bullis is the head football coach at the UW-Whitewater. His Warhawks, under his leadership, I mentioned this earlier, they've collected 64 all Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference honors, 30 All-West Region accolades, and 28 All-American awards. So, and as you listen to him, you kind of, I think, get the idea as to why they're able to do that. He is certainly a wonderful coach, and it was great to talk with him, and great to have you join in as well. And you're going to get an opportunity to join in some more here. I always look forward to talking with Megan Hart. And she's back with us to talk about the latest developments in sports across Wisconsin. That coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.